I appreciate Josh stepping in. I heard he did a really great job. So tonight we're going to move on to our number three study. It's called Discipleship and Lordship. And just so you know, the message that we follow and believe in, the gospel of Christ, was never intended to be delivered in this public setting in the sense of transferring the heart and the message. It was intended to be delivered like this, on a one-on-one level or a small group level. And that's the way Jesus intended it. He used the big platform to plant seeds. The miracles were to plant seeds, but where it would take root and where it would grow, where it would do something powerful, was in the small group and on the one-on-one. And it's very important that you see your role as a disciple. And if you're here visiting with us, it's very important that you see you have the potential to change the world. One, not everyone. Remember that? That is the model that Jesus wanted to use to change the world. One by one, soul by soul, to change this world. And so I want to begin just reminding you how important you are. And it's not about age. Thank you, Ilani, for reminding us of that. If you're a little further along in life, that doesn't mean God's not finished with you. He's just getting started. He will use you all your life. But we have to allow ourselves to be used. And we need training. And that's what you're going to be receiving. Is training on Wednesday night in our faith principles. Okay, these have been edited. One of the things that was shared last year was that some of the studies were a little long. If you could go ahead, Tom, and pass out the sheets. We've taken some of the scriptures out. Not that they're not important. It's just a lot of scriptures.
Yep.
So we're trying to reduce it and focus. We may have less next year, but a little more concise. Now the content, all the detail is still there in the sheet so that you'll know exactly what to talk about, what to hit. For those of you that are visiting here with us, our faith principles are basic studies that we do with people that want to know more about our church. We believe in our fellowship and in our church. You can't just quick fix somebody to get right with God. They have to understand what they are doing. They need to be educated. They understand the commitment, the devotion, the relational, the level of commitment that they're going to be making to God. You can't just lightly walk into this. It's something you have to stop and think about. And this study really makes it clear. So we do these studies with people before they make their final decision to follow Christ, so that they follow Christ knowing what Christ expects of them. Okay, it's not blind, it's not an emotional whim, it's something that's rock solid. So we're going to be looking at that. But before we do that, I got a freebie for you. Freebie. It's called the cone of learning. I don't know how many of you can see that. Edgar Dale. He did some research on how people learn. Okay? How you learn. If you've noticed, on Sunday, why do we have visual presentations? Music, movies. Why do we do that? Because it helps you to remember what you heard. Okay? Jesus did the same thing. When he taught in parables. People could visualize what he was saying. Jesus spoke to the people in parables so that they would remember, so they would identify, so they would relate. And he did it with an intent so people would learn and remember. And what more important thing to learn, you know, as you study for your test, Janine, you know, you just read it out of a book and you try to cram and you know, but Jesus wanted to make sure people remembered the principles of the kingdom of God. We'll go through this quickly. When people read something, after 2 weeks, they remember 10%. When they hear the word after 2 weeks, and sometimes it's less, a little discouraging for me as a minister, 2 weeks later they remember 20% when they hear. When they look at pictures, then they remember 30%. I'm a visual person, I don't know about you. When I see things, I remember a lot better. But look what happens When you watch a movie, look at an exhibit, watch a demonstration, seeing it done on location, 50% of what you hear and see, you'll remember after 2 weeks. Then, participating in a discussion or giving a talk, when you do the Bible talk, Larry, guess what you're going to remember of that Bible talk when you do it? 70% after 2 weeks. But I'm not a well-seasoned speaker. It's not about that. It's about you learning. It's about you growing. It's about you understanding the principles of Jesus. And the best way you're going to do that is participating. Being active, not just sitting and listening. Okay? We've got to break that mold that the religious world has on us. Okay? Then look what happens. Doing a dramatic presentation, simulating a real-life experience, doing the real thing. Which is, in other words, doing a Bible study with someone.
Amen.
Guess what you'll remember after 2 weeks? If you do a Bible study with someone, if you pass on to them the words of Christ in this form, like we're going to be training you the next few weeks, if you do this, in 2 weeks you're going to remember 90%. And if you want to know what the Bible teaches and the basic principles of Christ, the basic principles of faith, if you teach it to somebody, you're going to remember it. So this is a freebie. This is not in the study. This is for you. So you can learn the importance of being active and studying the Bible with people. You can do this. You should do this if you want to remember, if you want to learn. I get the privilege of doing a lot of Bible studies with people. But I don't want to do it. I want you to do it. I want us to do it together. I don't want to be selfish. I want all of us to do it. And you can do this. Okay? And the best way to start is put your foot in it. Okay? Go ahead and stick your foot in it. Okay? You might not do the best job the first time, but you can always tell people the disclaimer in the beginning of the Bible study. Okay? I'm still training. I'm a disciple in training. I'm a person that's teaching the Bible in training. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, biblically speaking, God used imperfect people to pass on His message. The apostles were known as common people, common ordinary men who had been with Jesus. That made all the difference. All right, let's get on with the study. A call to discipleship. Look what Jesus said here in Matthew. And these are in your notes. You want to begin the Bible study after you did the Word of Faith last week or the other day. You're doing the next study, which is discipleship and lordship. This is a very, very important study because you're teaching people, you're helping them redefine what is Christianity. People do not know what Christianity is, biblically speaking. And so we're redefining that here in this Bible study. Call to discipleship. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 18. Most of the scriptures will be up on the screen. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Any question about whether Jesus has the authority to teach this and say what He's going to say? Jesus has the final word. That's what He's saying. There's nobody else out there. I have the final word on what is right, what God expects, what He wants, and the gateway to get into heaven. That's what He's saying. And He goes on to say, "So therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them..." Who's them? Disciples. People that are already disciples. "Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is a condition. If we want Jesus to be with us, we've got to continue His work, His great commission.
Yes.
He's given us this charge as He gave it to His disciples. "Do this, and I will be with you. And I'll be with your children, and I'll be with your church." That's why we're doing this. It's not a numerical game. We want Jesus to be with us. And that's His promise. And the point here, Jesus wants everyone to be a disciple. How do a disciple and a Christian differ? Very important questions to ask your friend who's studying the Bible. Which is more a popular term? Christian, obviously. Many perceive that disciples are super Christians. The word disciple occurs over 270 times in the New Testament. And the word Christian only appears three times. Christian is used for the first time in this next verse. So obviously the word we got to look for, we're looking for who's a follower of Jesus? Disciple, because Christian's only there three times. It's not a very common word. Look in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. The first time the term Christian was used. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This was the first time they started using the word Christian. What were they known as before that?
Disciples.
Disciples. And the word disciple means I follow. Who do we follow?
Jesus.
We're all His students. And we all want to be like Him. We all want to grow in the same way He had such great faith in God. We want to have that. We want to walk in His steps. And that's His goal. What an incredible opportunity that you and I can follow Jesus. Even today, we can be His disciples. We can walk like He did. We can love people like He did. But we need training, just as they did. So, we must be disciples in order to be true Christians and truly be saved. We will agree Christians are people who are right with God. But the way the world uses Christian, it's watered down. It basically just means a religious person that has an ideology that they believe in Jesus. They believe in the Bible somewhat. They don't know it. They don't really follow it. They have some kind of good feeling about it. They go to church once in a while. They wear a cross pendant around their neck. But it's a very broad term. But a disciple is very specific. Very precise term. And Jesus wanted everyone to be a disciple because He wanted everyone to be saved. Jesus wanted to rescue this world from what it's suffering from right now. And the only way to rescue people from this world is for them to become disciples. There's no other way. There's not going to be a stimulus package that the UN's going to roll out that's going to save people from eternal condemnation. This is it. This is the only way. This is the truth and the light. And we will examine how Jesus defined and called people to discipleship. First thing that Jesus called people is a mission of love. Disciples are defined by love. It says Mark 1, but this is an extra verse, but you can... I think we're jumping down. It's a little out of order, but we'll jump back. Mark 12, it's the second point, but we'll jump back to the loving the lost point. Mark 12, verse 30 and 31. Jesus identified, what are the most important commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Some people that get in religious arguments want to talk about things you know. You want to break it down? Who's a disciple? How loving are they? How much do they love God? How loving are they with the people that they're close to and people that they don't know? And if you want to excel at something, Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 13, you may have, even as we want to grow our faith, right? You can have the faith to move mountains.
Yep, that's right.
But if you don't have love, guess what you're worth in God's eyes? What if you are a martyr and you want to walk into the fire for Jesus? And you don't have love, what's your worth? So a disciple is somebody who is loving. And in the past, I can tell you, we knew a lot, but we weren't always that loving. We got to be loving. It's got to be one of our biggest qualities and characteristics. Love. How do you love somebody? Give them a hug. You look them in the eye. You smile. You give to them. You interact with them. Okay? It's not enough to write a check. You know? The way, American way, we like to write a check for everything. That's not it. You got to take time to be with people. Listen to them. Love them. Love is what brings people into the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. It's the most important two things. Love God and love your neighbor. And the points here, we're going to go through this point about the marriage transformation. Let's back up and go to loving the lost point. That slide was out of place there. I apologize for that. It's rearranged. But it's correct on your notes. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. This is the first time that Jesus called people to follow them. He says, as they walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When they had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their nets. They left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with their hired men and followed him. Four men who were involved in changing the world. What did they used to do before they followed Jesus? What did you used to do before you followed Jesus? The invitation is still the same. You follow Jesus, you can change the world. And you know, it's not a matter of a title. It's a matter of you can affect the life of one person who affects the life of another person who affects the life of another person. And altogether, how many lives are we going to affect in the East San Gabriel Valley? Who knows? But if we'll get on board with this and be filled with the Spirit and understand the width and the depth of this, it's going to be explosive. Leslie Shirelli recommended this book to me about missions, and I started listening to it. What's the name of it again? Revolution in World Missions. And I just started listening. It's about a period of time in northern India, what God was doing. And I just started listening. I'm going, you know what? We depend too much on ourselves and our structure and our no matter how awesome they are, our calendars and our events. We've got to start relying on God's Spirit and trusting the message. Amen. These guys changed the world. And we could do the same thing if we'll just keep it simple in our faith and in our focus. I'm going to make you fishers of men. How would you like for Jesus to come to you today and say, I want to make you fisher woman for God? That'd be pretty awesome. Would you believe it any more than how it is now? And so this was an intense thing that these guys did. And Jesus kept the focus. It's not on following each other. It's not your focus is on me or Josh or Dave or the other. All of our focus is on who? We're all in this together. We're all looking to the Savior, to Jesus. He's our leader. He is who we want to be like. And look at the focus of a disciple. We start out, we got our brand new brother and sister Dennis and Janet here. Go ahead and stand up. They were baptized Monday night. They're like this little plant in God's hands. What's God's dream for them? Be that big, big, wide oak tree. Well, what's it going to take for them to get there? They're going to have to grow. Remember the lesson we heard at the beginning of the year, our kickoff service? They were made to grow. Some of you got to get back in your minds. I got to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow my faith. I'm tired of being the same way. I don't want to be what I've been. I want to grow. And God wants to grow me. But the first step is humility and saying, God, I want to be a student. Teach me. Show me. And that's a decision that I made as a minister last year. I got to learn how to do this again. And I'm just as determined as last year. I want to learn more about building God's church. But that's His dream. You to become that oak tree. And to grow it. Loving God, a relationship focus. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them He said, "If anyone comes after Me and does not hate his father and mother and his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow Me cannot be My disciple." And jumping back to the other point, a mission of love. There's a comparison here when you make with marriage. We had a great marriage celebration on Sunday. Chris Newfield, and she's no longer Danielle Maldonado. She's now Danielle Newfield. They were married on Sunday. How would it be if Danielle told Chris there on the wedding day, "I'll give you 90%, but I'm still going to be 10% on the side"? Would that work?
No.
I don't think Chris would agree to that. Or vice versa. What if Chris told her, "I'll be 95%, Danielle, but I got to keep 5 on the side"? A lot of guys do that today. Marriage is messed up. Maybe 50-50. The way it was originally planned, and that's why Jesus says it in these terms, it's got to be exclusive. "I'll give you 100%. I'll give you everything." And that's the kind of relationship He's inviting us into. And large crowds were traveling with Jesus. He wasn't interested in a sideshow of multitudes. He was interested in quality and people that were truly going to be devoted to Him in the heart. And in the same sense, we don't want masses. We want people that truly love Jesus and want to be devoted to Him in an exclusive relationship. And that means they're going to have to make some choices. And He says the word here, hate. And you got to explain this to your friends. The word's there for a reason. It's not a translation error. And it's not that we're going to hate these people. It's that when we love Jesus that much, they're going to interpret that as what? Hate. And the whole point is loving people. But when family members see you choose Jesus over them, boy, that creates a rift. Creates a real rift. But what you're actually doing is, and it's happened in our fellowship, when you love Jesus more, you unify the family more. Because I love Jesus more, I changed my relationship with my mom and dad. It's better than it ever was. Because of Jesus. Because of that exclusive relationship. Jesus orders our relationship. He teaches us how to love people better. He's going to teach you how to love your kids better. As a parent, the balance of love and direction. He's still teaching me how to do that as a parent. But it is a decision. And look what it says here. Unrivaled love. Applies to all people. Hate. We can only have one Lord Jesus. No competition. In marriage, how do people feel when they compete for their spouse's affection? Hate. It really creates a strong feeling. We must be devoted completely to Jesus. But even in some relationships, when you try to devote yourself wholly to one person and Jesus is not in the middle, it gets a little weird. That's why Jesus completes the triangle in a marriage. He completes the triangle in a marriage because when we love Jesus and we love God first, He teaches us that safe balance where we're not just clinging on to the person and hanging on so tight. You know? Where it's a security blanket, that relationship. That's not good. That's not healthy. A healthy balance in a relationship. It only comes through Jesus and God. And He formed marriage so it would work this way. And the balance with wife and children, brothers and sisters. And I've seen this played out in Mexico. families would pit their children and their family against God and the church. And it was sad. Remember one girl that lived with us, she was beaten because she'd go to church by her father. And the only way he would not beat her is if she wouldn't go to church. This went on for weeks. But she didn't stop. And she continued. She was baptized. And guess where her parents worship now? Guess where her two sisters worship now? Guess how the family's been transformed now? Because she stood her ground and she followed this. Mom and dad have a better relationship and a better marriage than they ever would have because little daughter stepped out on faith, took the beating. And thankfully, a lot of people don't have to go through this, but there are going to be some. And Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it, and that's why He said this in preparation. And thankfully, we don't have it here. But in India, they do. In the Middle East, they do. And in China, they do. This is real. What Jesus is saying is real in those places, to follow Him and to become a Christian. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26. More about the unrivaled love. It requires a sacrifice sometimes. Then He said to them all, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will save it." But whoever loses his life for Me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. You know, my biggest sin in my life before I was a Christian was selfishness. And this Scripture saved me. I've got to deny self. Our biggest enemy many times in life is guess who? We can't love people because we get in the way. It's all about me. Can't have a good marriage. Can't have a good family dynamic because it's all about me. Me gets in the way. And Jesus is saying, if you get me out of the way, put God first, then others, then there will be great relationships. And guess who gets taken care of at the end? Me. There's room for me at the end of the line. And it's a blessing. But it does require sacrifice. There's an initial, I don't want to do this. You know, Sunday afternoon, we got that meeting day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're tired, we're exhausted, right? I know Dave doesn't want to be there, but he does it. Joe does it. These brothers work hard all week. And they give to others. And they've changed and helped so many people's lives. But it needs to be all of us. It can't just be a few. All of us need to be about that. And even at home, it's going to help you be a better parent if you just deny yourself. And not all the time. There's time. Kick back, watch the ball game. Okay? When everybody else is done. I'm thankful for TiVo. You know? See you later. Skip all those commercials. There's time. Okay? It's all good, but Jesus expects that. Ourselves are what gets in the way. And when He says here, take up your cross, it literally meant be willing to die for your faith. Yeah. Now, we don't have that cost in the United States in the 21st century. No one's going to kill you for your faith. But they can numb you out. They can dumb down the message to the point where it no longer has value. Okay? So we've got to look at that point here. Continuing on. Counting the cost. Look back to the Mark 14, verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays down the foundation is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Okay? Jesus is talking here about a building, counting the cost. Think carefully before you decide to follow Christ. Too often in churches, Christian churches, they don't do this. They have an altar call. And everybody that wants to come forward and ask Jesus to come into their heart, it's all good. Is that what Jesus did? Did Jesus have that kind of altar call? He didn't. He said, no, I don't want you to come just yet. I want you to stop and think about this. Don't do this unless you're going to finish it. I don't want emotional hearers or emotional followers. And too often still in our church, we get people that get really fired up about following Jesus, but they don't finish the job. Meaning, they don't stay faithful till the very last day of their life. That's the commitment I made to my wife. But it started with this commitment to God before I got married. I understood. We've got to change the way this world operates. Because Jesus still expects the same thing. If you're going to build your Christian life, start it with a all-out devotion. No turning back, no back door. Go ahead and brick up the back door. Okay? I'm going to do this for life. And you do it day by day. You do it year by year. My commitment this year, and I hope it's your commitment this year, I'm not going to fall away. Okay? Can you handle that? That in December 31st, 2011, I still want to be standing here faithful to God. I don't know what's coming. But that's the kind of commitment and the devotion that we need to make to Christ. That's what He wants. And that's what He's saying here. And then He goes on to make a comparison of the kings. I'll breeze through this. 10,000 kings, 20,000 kings. Who's who? One's God, one's us. Okay, we're the one with 10,000. He's the one with 20. What are you going to do? Ask for terms of peace. How do you do that? You take a knee. In the old days, that's what you do. When the big king walks in with 20,000, you take a knee. You're in charge now. And under those conditions, if you take a knee, guess what the king did if he was smart? He said, I'm going to leave you in power because I need you to still run this thing. I'm going to let you rule under my authority. And that's what Jesus does with us. He allows us to run our lives, but under His authority. Okay? That's what it means. In the United States of America, we don't get kings and lordship. We don't get that at all because we've never seen it. But that's the way it was in those days. People understood that. That's the relationship He wants to have. Take a knee to Jesus. All right, you're in charge. You are Lord now of my life. You say jump, I jump. Okay? Those are the conditions. And to continue on, He finishes up and says, in the same way, any of you does not give up anything, everything he has cannot be my disciple. Anything and everything that gets in the way of your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with God, you need to put it in question. I had to make some decisions about some of my friends. I had to make some decisions about some of my jobs, where I was going to live, some of my relationships with women of the opposite sex. Anything and everything that can get in the way of your relationship with Jesus, you need to put it in question and be willing to give it up. There was a time when I needed to give up the comfortable living in the United States and go be a missionary in Brazil. Anything and everything. It was one of the best experiences of my whole life. And if God wants me to do it again, I'm thrilled when it's time. But that's what needs to be our disposition. And let me tell you, it's not this burdensome, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? It's going to be, no, you will be free. It's such a free feeling. It's a blessing to have these things taken off of our shoulders and serve one Lord instead of 10, which you can't possibly serve. All right, moving along, loving one another. We're going to close out here soon. John 13:34, repeating the commandment. New commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The mark of a true disciple is what? I want to encourage us on Sunday. Okay, brothers and sisters, be more loving. Okay? When you walk in the church, okay, be considerate. Try to get here on time because that expresses love to our brothers and sisters who are preparing the service. Okay? But when you come in, you know, don't just, okay, I'm coming right into the seat there in the back, you know, waiting for everybody, I'm going to sit down. that to somebody. Give some hugs. You're not going to do it here at church. Are you going to do it out there? Okay? And this isn't me asking you to do this. This is the Lord Jesus Himself asking who you say you follow, who you say you believe in.
Come on.
Let's be loving people. Let's go out of our way and let people know. Hey, I follow Him by showing them. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Let's close out. Who can get baptized? Disciples. That's the way Jesus, the order of it. Okay, and here on your notes, you'll see who's a candidate for baptism. A disciple. Not somebody who's fired up and wants to be a member of our church. Okay? No, it's somebody who's decided and understand what it means to follow Jesus under these things. And ask the person who you're studying with, do you think you are living the life of the disciples? Is this the way you were taught what a Christian is? Okay, it's not argumentative, you're just asking a question. Okay, were you correctly taught this about following Jesus? If not, then you need to ask yourself some questions about the whole way you became a Christian. I don't want it to be offensive, it's just fact. Before someone gets baptized or commits their life to Christ, they must understand and make that devotion and that decision under these conditions and under these understandings. And I'll share this with you. When I got baptized, I was afraid. And I usually share this with people that I study with who are close to getting baptized because they're a little nervous. And I say, you know, that's great. I'm happy that you're nervous because you understand the magnitude of this decision.
Amen.
I was more nervous when I got baptized than I was when I got married. Laura was a little more nervous, I think. No, I'm just kidding. But it's okay to be nervous because you understand. And you know what I was most nervous about? Am I going to see this through? Man, that scared me. Am I going to finish this? Because I've never finished anything in my whole life at 21 years old. I started so many things and never finished. I said, is this going to be another one? And I said, God, just help me. And 26 years later, next month, still here.
Wow.
Isn't that good? Dave, 30 plus years, you're still here. God can do that. With a wishy-washy person if they'll just make it the right way. And look here on the bottom of your sheet and we'll be done. Okay, have you been taught to be a disciple accurately? Are you a disciple? Are you a Christian? And are you right with God? Are you saved? And then here is to teach them to obey everything. After baptism, people, it's important teaching for us to be mature in Christ. Jesus commanded us to make disciples, and to make disciples was given to be passed down to everyone. Look at this little diagram you have here. And this is something that I long for again in our fellowship. For all of us to feel the value that God has for us, that He wants to use us as instruments of salvation to help others. Look what can happen if everybody embraces it.
Yep.
But look what can happen to the poor preacher who tries to do everything. Who tries to study the Bible. Him and his poor wife who try to study the Bible with every married person that wants to study. What happens to him after a few years? And that is one of the things that came out of this book that I read. Okay, because they were under a different paradigm, these ministers that were in India. They tried to do it all. And guess what happened to them? Burn out. Okay? We don't want that. Okay? And that's why everybody in our faith group can be the faith group leader who's the next martyr hanging on the cross and he dies, and then the next one step up and he dies and dies of stress and, you know, and all kinds of things. No, everybody will step up and do their part. God can work amazing things. We can saturate the East San Gabriel Valley with the Word of Christ. Not everybody's going to want it. But a lot will. A lot are seeking right now. And you are the chosen instrument. Amen?
Amen?
If you have any questions, feel free to, you know, ask me. about that, but that is our discipleship and lordship. I want to encourage you with one last thing. You can do this study. Amen? Let's close out with a prayer. We're done. I want to encourage the parents to go pick up your children and thank the disciples who take care of your children. They deny themselves, miss this class so they can be there for your children.
Amen.
Let me have Dave, if you would, please. Moss, if you could close us out with a word of prayer.